Hi, welcome to Powersuit Podcast, a new podcast from creative network Powersuit Social. I'm your host, Lauren Ingram. I'm the founder of Powersuit Social, which is all about keeping creative work commercially viable, or in other words, I'm bringing people together to talk about how we make money from creative work, especially in uncertain times. I'm delighted to have another brilliant creative guest on today's episode, veteran copywriter Vicky Ross, who I'll be talking to about running a side hustle alongside your day job. For the record, I don't really like the term side hustles as it kind of makes me shudder, but there isn't really a better way to describe having an initiative or a business that you run in your spare time. In any case, Vicky and I bonded recently over side hustles because there was this opinion piece in Campaign, that's a well-known magazine about advertising if you don't work in the same part of the industry as us. The piece was called Why Your Side Hustle Sucks, and this chief creative officer said he thinks it leads to compromised work in your day job, and that's something I fundamentally disagree with. Vicky felt pretty much the same way about this, and she probably has more side hustles than, I guess, main hustles. So I'm really glad to have her in to talk about this. Vicky has over 20 years' experience in copywriting. She started out at agencies before working in-house for brands like The Body Shop and Hotels.com, and now she works with brands and agencies, so people like ITV, Sky, WCRS, and I'll let her tell you what her side hustles are. Welcome, Vicky. Really, really pleased to have you here today.
Thank you for having me.
So first things first, Vicky, what would you say is your main job and how many side hustles do you have?
I am a copywriter. It's all I ever wanted to be. It's all, I think after 22 years, I think it's all I'll ever want to be. And I wanted to be a copywriter for so long that I still love telling people that I'm a copywriter. But I do have, I do have a number of side hustles, as the industry has termed them. I teach copywriting through DNAD, She Says, and Creative Equals, and also at the School of Communication Arts. And I mentor copywriters through Who's Your Mama and For Creative Girls. I'm forever trying to champion copywriting so that it doesn't die as a craft, and champion copywriters either getting into the industry or already in the industry. So I created the hashtag Copywriters Unite on Twitter about 5 or 6 years ago, and it's to connect copywriters around the world. 4 years ago, a number of copywriters were asking that it became an in real life thing, which, oh, the horror. But that was, 4 years ago. And since then, I've hosted quarterly Copywriters Unite nights in London and have a number of hosts doing them around the UK. In fact, last week we had 6 nights in 1 week, including our first in Berlin. So that's exciting. Still on championing copywriters and making sure copywriting's front of mind, I created an event called Copy Cabana with fellow copywriter Andy Maslin. It's been in Bournemouth for the last 2 years, but this year we're changing things. I can't say anything on it yet. Keep an eye out if you're interested in a day of fun. I also have a Twitter account called Agency Quotes because I created a hashtag called Things You Hear in Agencies. Because, God, we talk a lot of nonsense at work and it just seemed to need to be documented. And it's been so successful that I've got 2 books from it, which have been separated into... So the quotes are all separated into chapters based on how the studio is set up. So there's a copy and design chapter and a planning chapter and an accounts chapter. And then it's split further into topics like timesheets, Fridays and Christmas. And then another hustle I've got is my new event with Nikki Lyle of Nurture Creatives. It's on the 19th of April at Pizza East in Shoreditch. So already it sounds fun, I think, a night eating pizza. Tickets are available on Eventbrite, and it's to motivate and inspire creatives with side hustles or dreams of a side hustle. So we've got a lineup of amazing speakers and a huge long list of speakers for future events. So this could be a new series. So we've got Adam Lowe, who created Last Seen Online, an incredible innovative way of reading a book. I don't want to give too much away. Scarlett Montanero, who set up Crack and Cider. James Burke, he'll be talking about his company Acrylicize and Shesh. And Francis Paramalam, who'll be talking about the brilliant Fargy Sundays. So yeah, that's my day job and everything else.
And then regarding that article, Why Your Side Hustle Sucks, definitely got under my skin for saying that yeah, having a side business leads to compromised creative work. Was that also what bothered you about the piece?
Look, I'm not bothered about the article, actually. I like reading anyone and everyone's views on anything and everything. If we all thought the same thing, it'd be really boring. So it's good for somebody to have opposing views. And I totally get Ben's point. It's all well and good to have a side hustle, but it mustn't come at the... It mustn't affect the thing that you're being paid for. You can't disrespect your job. So as much as I champion a side hustle, I also champion not being a dick at work. So there is a level of respect to be remembered. But I think as creatives, we find it difficult to stop thinking and stop doing and stop making and stop creating. And often people within their day job can feel frustrated that they don't have the creative freedom that they'd like, or that their ideas are owned by their company or brand or agency or boss or however it works. So we have the ability to go out and make things happen for ourselves too. I mean, that's brilliant. How many jobs are there where what you do outside of work feeds what you do inside of work and vice versa?
Yeah, I definitely find the same thing with Powersuit Social, that I've probably got more energy than I had a year and a half ago, because, and I'm more focused on my work now that I've got both things going on. I've just learned to prioritize better, that I feel like I'm more feeling even more motivated and sort of spending my evenings and weekends doing this. So sorry to my boyfriend and friends, but I think it's even had a good impact on my day job as well.
Yeah, totally.
And then would you say that more people in the creative industries are pursuing side businesses nowadays? And if so, what would you say the main benefit is of having something alongside it?
Well, I don't know for sure if more people are pursuing side hustles, but I know that plenty are. And I also know from teaching at the School of Communication Arts that more and more students are going for book crits, and agencies are interested in what they do outside of school. So they often have a section at the back of their books called passion projects, which I guess is the same thing as side hustles.
Would you say it makes people more employable if they have got those passion projects going on?
I don't know for sure if it makes you more employable, but it definitely makes you more interesting and more creative and more inspiring and inspired. You know, if I'm interviewing for a copywriter to work for me and they tell me that in their spare time they just go home and die on the couch, I don't feel like there's much going in that's going to inspire what comes out. You know, as creators, we need to feed our mind. It doesn't just come from looking at the wall. It doesn't have to be you have to feed your mind with more creative work. We don't want burnout. But as I said before, I think sometimes creatives just can't help but creating something. And not all creatives do whatever it is in their day job outside of their day job. So, you know, lots of people say, as a copywriter, will I or have I written a book? I've got no interest in writing a book. I write too much during the day to want to write in the evening. So it could be something completely different. But having an all-round interest in what you do and then expressing it in different ways does make you more interesting and therefore potentially more employable.
Yeah, totally. I'd like to give listeners some advice about if they're thinking about starting their own side project and that type of thing. Would you say that if you're employed full-time at an agency or production company or wherever, do you think you should tell your employer about what you're doing in your spare time? Or like, how would you say people should play it?
I think be respectful of your job and your boss and your objectives and your commitment. Like, you'd be an idiot to fuck about at work for the sake of something you're doing on the side. But yeah, why not share? You never know who'll be interested or who can help. Like, if you need a photographer and you work in advertising, your team is going to know a whole load of photographers they can put you in touch with. So I think, yes, do tell your boss. I think they'd be interested. I know that Scarlett, speaking at my Nurture Your Side Hustle, I don't think I said what it was called before. My event on the 19th of April, quick plug, is called Nurture Your Side Hustle. Scarlett, speaking at it, she did tell her boss what she's up to and they fully support her. So I'm all for honesty anyway in anything, maybe too much.
I'm exactly the same, to be honest. And then, what would you recommend in terms of being able to manage your time efficiently in juggling a few different projects? Do you have any sort of either tricks or tools or recommendations for people?
I wish there was a fail-safe magic answer, but everyone's different. for me, it's making lists. I need to have lots of lists, otherwise I don't know whether I'm coming or going. But I think just generally being super organised and splitting your week up in a way that suits you. My husband would laugh. He's always telling me to do this when I'm still doing something at midnight and then complaining about how I work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But I think if you can put sort of rules in place, say you work 5 days a week at an agency, but you're really passionate about dedicating a day to your side hustle, then, you know, work 6 days a week, 5 days at your job, and then the sixth day is your side hustle day, and commit to it as if it was a job. And as with anything, if you're only doing bits here and there, you'll never get a grasp on it and probably won't work. So you really need to dedicate time, especially at the beginning, and work out who can help you. If someone's got skills that you don't, then use them. I have no idea how to put an event on, but I know who would make an interesting speaker, and I have a huge address book. So I do that bit, and my event partners do the what I call the boring bit, because I just can't deal with logistics. My brain doesn't compute. So I'm very lucky to have people around me that do enjoy doing that bit.
Have you got a typical working day in, as to how you manage your different projects together? Is it certain days of the week or anything like that?
A typical working day is pretty manic. I'm usually doing a lot of things at once, but I think that helps with being creative, actually. A bit like having a day job and a side hustle, is the two influence and inspire each other. I think working on different things at the same time does the same thing. So you could spend all morning writing about mortgages. I've never written about mortgages before. And then all afternoon writing about cat food. Never written about cat food either. But while you're doing one or the other, your subconscious, your brilliant subconscious, is still doing some of the work for you. So you might think of a line that fits with the mortgage job and then go back to it. So it's all a bit of juggling, but creative juggling with a brilliant outcome.
And I totally find the same, actually, that some of the best ideas, I have to have walked away from whatever it is that I'm doing, and I'll be, yeah, at a gallery or listening to a podcast or whatever it is. It's a completely separate activity, and then go, oh, do you know what? This.
Totally. And that's what I love about, I mean, I love so many things about my job. Getting a bit boring, aren't I? But I love that you can sweat over something for ages, and the minute you step away, the answer hits you. A lot of my students don't trust in the subconscious yet, and I just try and urge them to do it, because they'd be so much more comfortable in generating ideas. But I think, well, it's not just students. I think a lot of people think if you're not at your desk, then you're not working, but that's not true. I remember once I got told off by a head of copy a while ago when I was just sat flicking through a magazine at my desk, and she was like, oh, do you want a cup of tea with your magazine? And I said, I'm not kicking back. I'm just sort of, I need the words to be going around. They don't just come out of nowhere. So yeah, definitely about not looking at your computer all the time.
So when you step away from your work, how do you find your creative inspiration? Is it, you know, magazines or museums, or even what do you encourage students to do?
Well, I always encourage them to flick through a magazine, because that's what works for me. So I've got loads of magazines at home. You don't even need to read the whole article. It's just getting the headlines past your eyes can trigger something, or trigger a phrase that you already had, but, you know, you could reframe it. But also going out, just walking around, looking around, walking around, going to galleries. It doesn't have to be as cliche as that. It could just be watching some trashy TV program. When your mind is at rest, suddenly something comes. So I always have my phone near me so I can write down any notes or take photos or have a pen and paper, you know, especially at night. Although everyone always says, oh, I woke up in the middle of the night and wrote an idea down, and then in the morning they either A, couldn't read it, or B, it was a shit idea and they can't believe they woke up with it. But you need to get the shit ideas out too, to sort of clear the way for something brilliant to come out.
I'm the same. Have you heard of a book called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron? It was her that, I think this might have been in the 80s actually, so I'm on brand. But she invented, in inverted commas, something called morning pages, where you just write, I think it's three sides of paper when you wake up. And that's to kind of get all the stuff in your head out, whether it's like talking about your dreams, worrying about picking stuff up from the dry cleaners, which I do need to do. One of my power suits is in the dry cleaners. and it's just kind of getting all the bump out of your head. And then it might actually lead to some creative inspiration in itself. And you kind of go, oh, do you know what I could do is such and such. Or it might just basically sort of have that clear out so that you're ready to start your day and start coming up with ideas and things like that. And so even though this was from the 80s, I still find it really effective. And I don't actually have the patience to do 3 full pages myself. And I do sometimes type it, which is something that she's anti. But yeah, it has that sort of cathartic process of like, right, now I'm like, my mind is water or whatever the phrase is.
I love that. And it's very true for writing. So a lot of people sort of fear the blank page and they don't know how to get started. But I think too many people think of approaching their copywriting in terms of writing copy, where actually you just need to write something down. It could be just a load of blurb, or it could be a brief to yourself, or a list of things that you want to get into your copy. But we shouldn't always sit down attempting to write copy from the first go. And I think also the first thing in the morning thing is interesting, because it's about working effectively is also about knowing when you work best. So I work best in the morning. Often I'll wake up at 5, 6 o'clock and just start straight away, because nothing else has got into my brain yet. There's no pollution. I am clear and free and ready. And then come the evening, I've got nothing. Whereas other people work better at night when everyone's in bed and it's all quiet and you can sort of detox from the day. But yeah, knowing when you work best.
I tried something like that recently. This is a bit of a nerdy thing to do, but I genuinely found it helpful, is that I drew myself a graph of times of day and how much energy I tend to have. And it's actually helped me just kind of rejig my tasks for the day, because I realised that it's kind of 8:30 till 9:30 before I've had my coffee, but when I've kind of got into the swing of my day is when I'm most productive. And so actually I need to be planning my to-do list. I need to have already have that out of the way by 8:30 so I can kind of get cracking on that immediately. And then I also have like a big slump after lunch, especially if it's a very like carb heavy lunch. And just kind of plotting that out, it makes it easier to know when's good for me to have meetings, when's good for me to take on bigger creative tasks. So for example, quite often I'll think, oh no, I'll move that to the afternoon because I can't bother to do it just yet. And actually, if I think about it, if I'm in a carb coma at 2 p.m, that is not when I should be trying to write a press release or embarking on something a bit bigger like that.
I'm impressed. I think everyone should draw a graph of their behaviours. I think a lot of people feel like they're slaves to routine or to their boss or to deadlines. I mean, obviously we have to meet deadlines, but knowing when you work best is, you know, vital to working the most effectively. I'm going to tell my students that one.
Like, even when I looked at it afterwards, I was like, I look like such a geek for like, here's like my graph of Lauren by Lauren. Very cool. Now onto copywriting, which is obviously your one true love. The agency I work at, 360i, we've got quite a mixed creative department. So you've got like technologists, producers, copywriters, art directors. Everybody gets thrown in the mix quite early in a project. Would you say that lots of agencies will move away from that standard copywriter and art director duo? Have you seen the sort of movement in that sense?
Yeah, I think that traditional duo still exists in some agencies and doesn't in another. It's not a black and white answer there. And I do hope that we will continue to keep copywriters, whether it's in the duo setup or not. Too many people think they can write when they can't, and that's why there's so much bad copy around. I work with a number of agencies who ask me what they can do about their shit copywriting. And when I ask them who wrote it and what their experience is and how they're supported, they often tell me that a designer wrote the copy, which just infuriates me, because more often than not, a designer doesn't want to write copy. So the last thing they need to do is be forced to do something they don't want to do and then present work and be sort of annihilated for writing something bad when that's not their skill set. I mean, it just seems crazy to me.
I hadn't even heard about that happening, but that does seem a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, I hear it a lot. And, you know, a client will ask me to go into an agency and find out why they're not getting the copy that they're after. And I find out that it's not a copywriter that's written it. And it just seems crazy. Why wouldn't you have copywriters writing your copy? And why are you expecting someone who isn't a copywriter to write good copy? I'm not saying that, copy can come from anywhere. Doesn't always mean that it should. But empower the people you've employed to do what they want to do and what they've trained to do, and don't mix roles up.
Mm-hmm. No, totally. And what about brilliant copy? Who would you say, are there any brands out there at the moment that are doing like amazing, either like long copy or just really short, punchy copy? Who do you admire at the moment?
Well, I hate to be so obvious, but Innocent. I mean, everyone mentions Innocent, but rightly so. They just don't let it drop, and that's what makes it good. So not only do they write good copy, but they have a clear process around it so that they protect their tone of voice fiercely and use it in everything they do. And that's just how branding works, when you can stay true to what you've set out to do. I mean, I can't remember when they first started Innocent, but they just haven't let it drop, and that's admirable in itself. Virgin also, they have a fun tone of voice, so mostly their copy's great. But what's impressive about Virgin is how many brands are within the group. So Atlantic, Holidays, Trains. So I worked for Virgin Media, and I realised at the time that all those different parts of the brand are in different offices around the UK, but they all write to one consistent tone of voice. I mean, that's something that some people in the same office can't manage to do. Nike's the same all around the world, all different sub-brands, all different agencies, but still one distinct, clear way of looking and feeling and writing. I mean, that's impressive when people can stay true to what they set out to do.
And then lastly, really love your hashtag things you hear in agencies, about the mad things that actually get overheard in agency workplaces. Have you got any favourite overheard quotes?
Isn't it crazy, the shit that we talk about at work? Like, why doesn't anyone talk like a normal person? It's like the minute you walk into the agency and shut the door, you become some jargon spouter. I started Things You Hear in Agencies based on an earlier hashtag, which was Things You Hear in Meetings. I'm nothing if not the Ron Seal approach to creating hashtags. Things You Hear in Meetings started when I was head of copy client side, and unfortunately, as head of copy, in my experience, I just sit in meetings all day and not actually write any copy. And again, you walk into a meeting room, shut the door, and suddenly a load of nonsense comes out of everyone's mouth. So I was hearing things like, 10 million users is the new 1 million user, or can you viral this out? And how can you make this idea mental? And I mean mental enough to be sectioned. And then I went agency side again, and I thought, oh, this, you know, it's not just in meetings, it's all round coming from everyone. So I changed the hashtag to Things You Hear in Agencies and got things like, can we make the red look hard? You can only do drop shadows going one way. A client asking if you can make the 30 seconds last longer. This one I love from Tom Roach at BBH. We've got a robot shitting a battery in the final edit. And obviously, I mean, so many, pretty much every day I get, I like it, just make the logo bigger. But probably my favourite of recent years is from Chris Miller, who is a hilarious copywriter. Don't go in the ladies' loo, there's a sheep in there.
Do you know if it was a real sheep?
I mean, I think it was around, I think it was like for a shoot or something. So who knows?
It's been amazing having you speak with me today, Vicky. This is something that I'm also really passionate about. So thank you so much for joining today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks very much for listening to PowerSuit Podcast. Give us a star rating if you're so inclined, or if you've got any feedback you'd like to share, get in touch on Twitter or Instagram on @PowerSuit Social. Thanks.